Please take your Bibles or look in your Bibles, Proverbs chapter 4. It's where we're going to start this morning on this Sunday, June the 14th, 2026. Proverbs chapter 4. I heard somebody say one time that worry or worrying is a conversation you have with yourself about things you can't change. Prayer is a conversation you have with God about things He can change. This morning, I titled this morning's teaching, What Are You Thinking? There are lots and lots of things that are outside of our control. Lots of things going on in the world we have no control over. The war, gas prices, food prices, a bazillion things we have no control over. Actions of other people. Challenges that come up in our lives, many times it's not like we invited them in. But there is one thing we are in control of, and that is our own thinking. In Proverbs chapter 4, verse 20 says, My son, attend to my words, incline thine ear unto my sayings. Kind of like saying the same thing twice, right? Attend to my words, incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart. Why? Verse 22. For they, God's words, are life unto those that find them and health to all their flesh. Isn't that amazing? God's word. And that health and healing would be mental or physical. God's word is powerful. He sent His word and healed them. And then comes a verse that I'm sure we're familiar with, verse 23. Keep is better understood as guard. Guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. We guard our heart because out of our own heart are the issues of our own life. Now, that might be contrary to modern day philosophy, but I don't care. This is what God said in His Word. God's Word also says, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. God's Word also says, death and life are in the power of the tongue. And that's not only things we say out loud, but very much so, the things we say to ourselves, our thinking. Guard your heart with all diligence, because out of it are the issues of your own life. And this verse 23 is in the context of God's word, where He told us, attend to my words, incline your ear unto my sayings. Don't let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart. They're life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. A good question regarding anything and everything in our lives is, what does God's word say about it? You know, not necessarily what I think about it or what His opinion is about it. What does God's word say about it? And that could be in the area of finances, health, relationships, the government. What does God say about it? And when you know what God's word says about it, that's the right thing to think. And as you know, and as I know, it many times is a battle. And the battle's right here in our head. Look at 2 Corinthians 10, if you would. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. In fact, God shows us it's a battle. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Everybody there? Verse 3. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. God's using some military image here, isn't He? War, weapons, warfare. Kind of gets our attention, doesn't it? The battle in the mind, it's real. But our weapons are not, if we choose to fight the battle, our weapons are not carnal, they're not physical, but they are mighty, powerful. And that's what God said. And if God said our weapons are mighty or powerful, then what are they?
Mighty and powerful.
Mighty and powerful, absolutely. Verse 4 is a parenthesis, so let's just read verse 3 and pop over to verse 5. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. Verse 5, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Verse 5 in the Working Translation has it this way: demolishing reasonings and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and leading captive every kind of thinking in obedience to Christ. So again, in specific issues that we deal with, what does God's word say about it? Back to verse 4. You see the word at the end of that verse, strongholds? Our weapons are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. And it's in the plural, of course. A stronghold, this word strongholds means a fortress or a castle, something that's fortified. And God's talking here about strongholds in our minds. Now, a castle or a fortress is not built in 2 minutes. Hey, let's build a castle. Okay, we're done. It takes time, brick by brick by brick by brick. It takes time. We all have many mental fortresses or strongholds in our minds, and obviously not all of them are contrary to the knowledge of God. But here in this context in 2 Corinthians 10, the strongholds in our minds that God says to cast down or to demolish are those strongholds that are contrary against the knowledge of God, where they do not agree with what God said. And when it comes to this warfare, this pulling down or demolishing the strongholds that are contrary or against the knowledge of God, we read where God said our weapons are mighty. Mighty. The Word of God and the Spirit of God in us. God's Word is mighty. God's Word is powerful. And so is the Spirit of God that is in us. The Word and the Spirit. And so this battle that takes place in our minds, we remember that as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. That's what God said. God said, guard your heart with all diligence, because out of it are the issues of life. This battle in the mind is believing what God said about the specific issue at hand, and believing who we are as a born-again one. All those rights, privileges, and abilities that God's Word tells us who we are as a born-again believer, who we are, and what we have now. You know, it's Christ in you, the hope of glory. God is at work within you to will and to do of His good pleasure. So it's, what does God say about the situation, and then remembering who I am. Here's something interesting about our minds. Our minds don't care what kind of stronghold is built. Bricks go in, fine, we'll just keep building. Our minds don't care. And when we think thoughts about ourselves, death and life and the power of the tongue, right? When we think thoughts about ourselves that are contrary to what God says, we're building strongholds. I mess up all the time. Brick, All right, just messed up again because I just brick. Just keep building the stronghold. I don't believe God like I should. Brick. Boy, I need to get to the point. I just don't believe God. Brick. I get sick all the time. Brick. Here I go, getting sick again. Brick. Our mind does not care what kind of a stronghold we're going to build. And I'm not talking about mind over matter, just be positive all the time. We're talking about God's word. God said the weapons of our warfare are mighty to the pulling down or demolishing strongholds that we don't want in there that don't help us. I never have enough money. Brick. I'll never have enough. Brick. When we recognize those thoughts, whatever the topic might be, you know, we got to stop for a minute and go, what did God say? And what am I speaking to myself about certain things? I can't really operate all the manifestations. Brick. I don't think I could ever really raise someone. Brick. I'm just a nervous person. You know, and I don't have any patience. Brick. That's probably enough examples. God would have us to demolish the strongholds. Doesn't mean if I have a thought coming in that is not in line with God's word, or it doesn't mean I've just built a fortress. A fortress isn't built one brick, but it is built brick by brick. And God would have us demolish the strongholds that are contrary to His word. And you know why God wants us to demolish those strongholds? Where does believing take place? In the heart. And I think we talked about believing a lot of times, but we talked about the great enemies of believing: fear and doubt. And there are times we don't realize that there may be some fear or there may be some doubt. You know, well, I'm not doubting anything. We may not be aware of worry and doubt or fears that we might have. And so God wants us to demolish the strongholds because those strongholds greatly interfere with our believing and trusting God. But with the right understanding of God's word, we can demolish those strongholds by replacing those wrong beliefs with the truth of God's word. And when we recognize a thought, we don't want to add any more bricks anywhere. Get out. Verse 5 again in King James, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. And again in the Working Translation, demolishing reasonings and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and leading captive every kind of thinking in obedience to Christ. And so concerning a specific issue, any thought that comes up that's contrary to God's word, we kick it out. No, I'm not going to think that. This is what God says about the situation. And I think, you know, you probably know, and so do I. The bigger the stronghold, bigger the battle. Sometimes it takes work, but it's worth it. So let's just flip this over now. Gaining and growing in our knowledge of God's word, we build godly strongholds in a number of different areas or topics, right? And how do we do that? Same way, brick by brick by brick. You know, you don't open the Bible for the first time in your life and you have the whole thing. I know it all. So we do that with God's word and build godly strongholds in our minds. And as we stay faithful, we build bigger strongholds. But we still need to guard our heart with all diligence. We guard our strongholds by not allowing contrary thoughts to start dismantling our godly strongholds. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. You know, like Eve. And see, it always comes from words. Something we hear, something we see. And, you know, the temptation with Eve was, did God really say that? You? And then the adversary told Eve, God lied. You're not going to die. In fact, you're going to be like gods. She was not guarding her heart with all diligence. Her stronghold, whatever it was demolished, right? Look at 2 Corinthians 11, speaking of Eve. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, but verse 3. But I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. Minds corrupted. The godly strongholds that you're building in your mind. And Paul said, I don't want that torn down like what happened to Eve. You don't need to turn there, but 1 Corinthians 15 and that whole section deals with the resurrection of Jesus Christ and the hope of his return. And some in Corinth were saying there is no resurrection and all this stuff. In 1 Corinthians 15, Paul said, be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners or good morals. Stuff people hear. And that is the answer as to why and how someone who once believed God's word, stood on God's word, no longer does. And we see a little bit of that in 1 Timothy 4, if you'd turn there. We all know people who once loved God's word, stood on God's word, who no longer do. Or maybe they believe something wacky that's like, what? Where is that in the Bible? Well, this is just verse 1 of chapter 4 of 1 Timothy says, now the Spirit speaks expressly in the latter times, some shall depart from the faith, the definite article. Some will depart, move away from the right way of believing. Why would they do that? Well, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. That just taking heed to stuff that's totally contrary to the right way of believing, to God's word, and they'd get shifted off. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 4. You know, I said the title of this teaching is, what are you thinking? It could also be, what are you confessing? What are you affirming? You know, they talk about affirmations, and what are you affirming in your life about you? What am I affirming in my life about me? Does it make any difference? Yeah, it does. Chapter 4 of 2 Timothy, verse 1. You know, it's kind of sad when you get to 2 Timothy, especially chapter 4, because this is the last thing that Paul wrote that we have by revelation, right before he died, because he said so. I'm ready to depart. Final words to Timothy. I charge thee, therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the living and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. Verse 3, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts, shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. I want to learn something new. What's that about? Oh, let me check this out. Oh, okay. And as a result, verse 4, they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto more truth? No. Fables or myths. I think we get the English word myths from that word fables. Not a good place to be. No wonder God talks in his word so many times about our thinking. Because God knows, as you think in your heart, so are you. Guard your heart with all diligence. Out of it comes the issues of life. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. God spells it out for us. Why? because God wants us to be blessed. God wants us to live abundantly. And above all, God wants us to be able to trust and believe Him, especially when we need help. So demolish the strongholds that are getting in the way there. We're going to go to Hebrews chapter 4. I've got to read this verse. This is such a great verse. Hebrews chapter 4. Probably know where I'm going. Hebrews chapter 4. Verse 12. For the word of God is quick. That's old English. Living. Hebrews 4, 12. Everybody there? Good. The word of God is alive. It's living. And it's what? Powerful. The weapons of our warfare are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Remember? The word of God is alive, it's living, and it's powerful. And it's sharper than any two-edged sword. How sharp? Piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit. You know, you receive Holy Spirit. It's part of you. It's part of your life. Sharp enough to... And of the joints and marrow. That's how sharp God's word is. Joints and marrow are fused together. I read somewhere where it is just so extremely difficult for an expert surgeon to divide joints and marrow. Well, God's word can. That's how sharp God's word is. And then it says it's a discerner. And the word discerner means able to judge. It's a discerner. It can judge the thoughts and intents of the heart. God's word. The weapons of our warfare are indeed mighty. They're very powerful. God's word can demolish any ungodly stronghold. That's encouraging, isn't it? Oh, I've thought this way for years. Okay, don't paint the bricks. Let's demolish the bricks by putting God's word in brick by brick by brick. It demolishes them. We're going to close in Ephesians 6, if you would. You know, and I mentioned before that our brains don't care what kind of strongholds we build. You know, you ever gone out of the computer and done a Word document? You know, you could write poetry, you could write lyrics to a song, you could write a novel. The computer is not going to go, oh, I can't write a Western novel. It's just whatever you put, there it is. It doesn't care. Our brains don't care what kind of strongholds we build. But when we have godly strongholds, our minds are much better at recognizing BS coming in. Wait a minute. No, I'm not going there. Get out. Anyway, chapter 6, you're familiar with this, I'm sure. Chapter 6 of Ephesians. Ephesians 6. Finally, my brethren, verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles or the methods of the devil. He's got a lot of methods, doesn't he? For we wrestle, verse 12, and it's not physical wrestling, is it? Where would the wrestling be taking place? Yeah, in our minds. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand, not budge. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth. The loins, the midsection of the body. It's where all the strength comes from. You know, whatever endeavor in athletics or whatever, the strength comes from that part of the body. Our loins, the strength we have, comes from God's word in our hearts and minds. Having on the breastplate of righteousness. The breastplate covers the heart. We don't let nobody or anything touch the righteousness that God has made us in Christ Jesus, there's therefore now no more condemnation. You are righteous before God Almighty. Whether you believe it or not, or anybody else believes it, it's done. We are righteous in God's eyes. Put a breastplate over that. Don't let nobody touch that. Oh, you think you're righteous? Yeah, I am. I might do things that don't indicate I'm righteous, but it doesn't change that I'm righteous. God made me righteous, and that's not changeable. 15, your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. The good news of peace, feet shod. Wherever we go, we're ready to share the gospel of peace. We're ready to shine as lights wherever we go. Above all, take the shield of the right way of believing, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. What a statement. The shield of the right way of believing. Knowing what God says about the situation, we are able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Take the helmet of salvation. Helmet goes on your head. Don't let anybody touch your salvation. You are saved. It's God in Christ in you. You have all the rights, privileges, and abilities that God says you have. You have His Spirit in you. You have the hope of Christ's return. We have the full salvation. We're not working to be saved. We put a helmet on because we are saved. Well, yeah, but you know that. No, yeah, but nothing. This is what God said. The helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit. Which is what? The Word of God. And the weapons of our warfare are mighty to the pulling down of strongholds. And don't forget this part of the armor, verse 18. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. In 1 Corinthians 14, Paul said, I will pray with my understanding. I will pray in the Spirit also. That's speaking in tongues. That perfect prayer. Praying always, consistently, with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. And then watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. That's the whole armor in this crazy world that we live in right now. And then he goes on to say, you know, pray that I could have open doors to teach God's Word. We need to be more, you know, this describes the battle and stuff we have. We need to be more God-minded than adversary-minded. Oh, the devil's doing this now. Oh, Satan's trying to do this. Stop! Don't give him any credit. When is this battle with the adversary, the God of this world, the Bible calls him, the God of this age, when is that going to end? When we get gathered together, so why give him any credit now? How about giving God the credit? God is healing me. As opposed to, oh, that devil's making me sick. God is healing me. God is involved in my life. God is blessing me. God has promised me this. God said that all grace would abound toward me. God. So, in conclusion here, what does God say about what I'm thinking about? Is what I'm thinking contrary? You have a thought, it's contrary to God's word, then I kick it out. Well, what if I don't know? Open the book and find out, or talk to somebody. Is it wrong for me to consider that we are all reincarnated and we yes. You got one life to live. There's just so many different things that God's word is so rich with information about all things that pertain unto life and godliness. And it's a lack of the right knowledge of God's word that allows a person to build ungodly strongholds. So, we get a thought that's contrary to God's word that we recognize, we throw it out. We throw it out. And we replace it with what God said. Especially when it comes to who you really are. Your own self-talk, your own self-image. This Bible, especially the church epistles, is where you find your true identity. It's in the book. That's who you really are. Not who you feel like, but that's who you and I really are. So We build godly strongholds and then we guard them. We guard them. We don't let anybody touch them. I don't know if they still do it, but they used to have commercial, I think it was the National Forest Service. And I think they used Sam Elliott's voice, somebody that sounded like him. Remember with Smokey the Bear? Yeah. Only you can prevent forest fires. Remember that? Only you can prevent forest fires. Only you can prevent ungodly strongholds in your mind. And only you can demolish those ungodly strongholds, because the weapons that God has given us are mighty to the pulling down and demolishing those strongholds. So guard your heart, build godly strongholds, and demolish the ungodly strongholds. Father, thank you for your word that is so clear to us about our thinking. And Father, how you gave us free will that we can think whatever we want to think. And Father, you've given us also your word, which is so helpful for us in our lives to put your words into our hearts and minds so that we can trust you and believe you. Father, thank you for showing us what we individually need to do. And Father, if there's junk we're not aware of in our hearts and minds that's interfering and blocking our believing and trusting you, show it to us so that we can clean it up and trust you and receive from you, because you are such a great, wonderful, powerful, loving God. I pray for everyone here, for those on the hookup, for those that might hear this recording later on the website. Thank you, Father, for the privilege of sharing your wonderful word with your people. In the name, above them all, the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.